Rabosa, what I thought we would do at this point in the sugya of Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, and I think, Herb, this will help you specifically because you weren't here yesterday, is to give a little bit of an overview of what we've been saying until now. Now, what I would request, if possible, is that what you would have open in front of you are these two pages, Kuf Pei and Kuf Pei Aleph, in the Mishkanos HaRoim that we worked on yesterday. The Gemara itself is on the bottom of Lamed Omid Beis and the top of Lamed Aleph Omid Aleph, and that's Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says that Zar Shachol Truma Bishoge, Zar Shachol Truma Mishalo, the Karashirayim Shal Chavero, he's pot. Meaning we apply the principle of Kimle Bidarabi. And Rashi points out, Usvirle Rav Ashi, on the top of Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, Misa Lazev, Tashluma Lazev pot. And this is against Rava in Mesech Sanhedrin Daf Yud. So Rashi has a machlokas between Rav Ashi here in Ksubas and Rava in Sanhedrin. So if you have the pages in front of you, I'm going to try to offer an overview, and then maybe we'll go back to your more full-blown text. We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll play it by ear, as they say. Tosis understood in Rashi that in the case of Zar Shachol Trumam Bishalo, Vekar Shiraim Shal Chavero, that is Misa Lezeh V'Tashluma Lezeh. Why? Because the Misa is Lashamayim. And since there's no one to whom you're Chayav, therefore it becomes Misa Lezeh U'mama Lezeh. So it's, in other words, Rashi would hold that in order to get to the point of what's called Misa U'maman Lechad, what we would need is that you chayv Misa to this person, which we'll explain as we go along. We spoke about it at great length yesterday. But if you chayv Misa LaShamayim, then we apply the principle of Misa Lezeh U'maman Lezeh. So for example, you ate Truma as a Zar, you chayv Misa LaShamayim. It's not that you chayv misa to the owner of the truma, and certainly not if you're the owner of the truma. And then on the other hand, you rip somebody else's shirayim simultaneously with eating the truma. That's a chiyuv mama that has nothing to do with the chiyuv misa. So there's no real connection between the two. And therefore, the Tosis is going to object to Rashi, because if that be the case, then Rava, who holds misa lezeh mama lezeh, means you have to pay that you get both punishments. What's he going to do with the Mishnah of Madlik Eskedisha Shachavero B'Shabbos? Because he's Chayav Misa L'Shamayim for violating the Shabbos. He's Chayav Mamon for destroying his friend's Godish. And therefore, we would suspend the principle of Kimle B'Rabminei, and instead he would have to pay the Mamon. How would Rava understand that Mishnah? That's what we saw in Tosus yesterday. Then we have to ask another question. Why, according to Rashi, do we object, in quotation marks, do we object to Rav Ashi in the case of Rav Ashi? We should have objected to all the other cases that we had until now, when the Gemara tried desperately to come up with a scenario of Kimle B'Rabminei. It came up with a case of someone who steals his friend's chalev and he eats the chalev, and he's chayv koris for eating the chalev. Or someone who steals a kohen's truma and he eats the truma. And in those cases, the Gemara applies Kimle B'Rabminei, trying to work out exactly how the achila begins and ends, you know, with the lifting it up and the putting it in his mouth and the swallowing it, Evshal Aduri, Evshal Aduri, and all the different cases. But once again, it's Misa Lezeh U'maman Lezeh, because he's chayv Misa for eating chalev, v'kares, or he's chayv Misa for eating truma. Why does Rashi wake up all of a sudden here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph in the case of Rav Ashi, and he says, wait a minute, Rav Ashi is against Rava, because Rava holds Misa Lezeh U'maman Lezeh, we don't apply Kimle, and we make him pay and we apply two punishments at once. Rashi should have said the identical thing in the cases of Achilas Truma, when the Truma belonged to the Kohen. So why does Rav Ashi all of a sudden arouse in Rashi's mind the issue of Misa Lezeh or Mamon Lezeh because he ate his own Truma? Forget about his eating his own Truma. If he ate the Kohen's Truma, we'd have the same issue. Then on the one hand, he pays Mamon Lezeh, meaning to the Bala Truma, the Kohen who owns the Truma. On the other hand, he's Chayav Misa because of Zarus. That's called Misa La Shamayim, and that would mean that it's not that it's not Chad, but rather it's Misa Lezeh Mamon Lezeh. So why did Rashi wake up at this point? So now you're going to look for a paragraph that starts with the Ramah. Do you have it? Is there such a thing, the Yad Ramah? Anyway, again, hopefully we'll find it inside. We'll look together. Let's just summarize the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah is going to claim that if the Shirayim belong to the Kupay Aleph, if the Shirayim and the Truma belong to one and the same person, then it would be considered Lechad. And here's the lumdus of the Yad Ramah. It's a pretty radical breakthrough, because again, the fact that the Bala Shirayim happens to own this Truma, that doesn't have any impact on what's called Misa L'Shamayim. The Misa L'Shamayim is because you ate the Truma. It doesn't matter whose Truma you ate. So the Yad Ramah says, no, it does matter whose Truma you ate. If you ate the Truma of the owner of the Shirayim, that becomes L'Chad. And what it means is that we don't care about the Chiyuvim themselves, meaning obviously the Chiyuv Misa for eating Truma is not in the bailus of the owner of the truma. Forget about the owner of the truma. It's irrelevant to the owner of the truma. But since we have in this case only one person involved, and he owns both truma and shirayim, then we're going to somehow link together these two chiyuvim. It's a linkage. That's the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah is saying that what links together the Chiyuv Misa with the Chiyuv Mamon, the fact that the Truma is owned together with the Shirayim by the same person. But let's say there were two different people. There's one person who owns the Truma, and there's another person who owns the Shirayim. That's our Gemara. And in such a case, that's called Misa Lezeh, V'tashlum Lezeh. Why? Because you have a Bala Truma and you're chai for eating quote unquote his Truma, whatever that means, right, in Lomdus, but you ate your chai for his Truma, and then you destroyed someone else's Shirayim. That's called Misa Lezeh Mamon Lezeh. And this Yad Ramah perhaps would shed a new light on Rashi and protect Rashi from the onslaught of Tosis. Tosis asks, what is Rashi going to do with the Mishnah of Madlikas HaGadosh? There it's Misa L'Shamayim. The answer is that according to the Yad Ramah, it's not Misa L'Shamayim. If it's Misa because he owns the Gadosh. And if he owns the Gadosh, that's called Lechad. And even Rav Ashi, even Rava would agree in this case that we apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramani, because it's Lechad. What makes it Lechad? The fact is that there's no one else who owns that Chil Shabbos, so to speak. Again, the concept of owning Chil Shabbos is a very strange concept here, but what it means is that we don't have a separation, a wedge between the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon. When do we have a wedge between the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon? That's when Reuven owns the Truma and Shimon owns the Shirayim. In that case, and only in that case, are we going to say that according to Rava, we impose both punishments, both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon, because in that case, there's a total separation between the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon because of two men, two Anoshim, Shnei Anoshim. The Chiyuv Misa is to Reuven because he owns the Truma, and the Chiyuv Tashlumin is to Shimon who owns the Shirayim. So again, we're not going to look at the Chiyuv itself. The Chiyuv itself, even in the case where the owner of the Truma is the same person the owner of the Shirayim is the same person as the owner of the Truma, right? In that case, there are two separate chiyuvim, but nevertheless, the mitzarei for the chiyuvim to make it into chad and apply the principle of kimle even according to Rava is the fact that there is one owner of both the shirayim and the truma. And you and I would have said, who cares who owns the truma? That's totally irrelevant to the chiyuv misa. But the answer is, we need a mitzarei. We need some sort of nekudat hatziruf, you know, some sort of point at which we overlap the chiyuv misa with the chiyuv mamon. And all we have to do for that is to make sure that the misa comes through mamon that's owned by the same person to whom you're going to have to pay that mamon. And no, we're not talking about paying for the truma. That's not the issue. But the issue is being chayav misa for eating the truma. Well, whose truma did you eat? That's the adramah. Whose truma did you eat? Did you eat the truma of the person whose shirayim you destroyed? If that be the case, then everybody would agree, even according to Rashi, that it's called misa umam lechad. And Rava would agree that we apply the principle of kimlev the ramine. However, in the case where we separate between the ownership of the truma and the ownership of the shirayim, again, we haven't yet answered why the Gemara says that he owns the truma. It could have been that the Kohen owns the truma, but in any event, it's not the Baal HaShirayim who owns the truma. In such a case, Rashi says, we have a total split between the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon. Now, Tosis disagrees with Rashi, and he holds that whenever this Misa LaShamayim is considered Mamon Unefashos Li'Echad. So what is the case of Rava, of Misa, Lazeh, Umam, and Lazeh? That's going to be the case of Edim Zomimim, and here we're dealing with Ritzicha. Again, not literal Ritzicha, but it's Ritzicha in the sense of Yasisim Lo Kasher Zomam, and it means that the Ede Abal wanted to put the Boel and the Nevelis to death, and at the same time, the Ede Abal wanted to be Mafsid Har Liksuba. And Rava says in such a case that when the Eidah becomes Zomimim, we're going to apply two punishments, both simultaneously for that one Eidah. And the Eidah Zomimim are going to, number one, be put to death, and they're going to have to pay for the Ksuba. And that's called Misa Lezeh Umam and Lezeh. Says Tosus, you know why that's called Misa Lezeh Umam and Lezeh? Because what the Eidah are involved in is Ritzicha. And Ritzicha is not a Chiyuv LaShamayim. So again, in every case of Chiyuv LaShamayim, like for example, Achilus Truma, or violating the Shabbos, we're going to say that that's Misu Mom and Lechat. When is it Letrei? When do we separate between the two? When the Chiv Misa is to a person. It's a Ritzicha and you're Chayev to the Nirtzach. It's not that God is asking you for your life and punishing you. It's the dead person who's demanding your life. And that's the Dmei Chicha Tzorkim Elai. So it means that in the case of Edim Zom, the reason why Rava says we're going to impose both punishments is because there are two victims here of this Eidus. One victim is the Boel and the Neveles, and the other victim is the Isha as far as her Ksuv is concerned. And since that's a Chiyuv, Beinonim L'Chavero, but there's two Beinonim L'Chavero, see, there's one Beinonim L'Chavero in terms of the Chiyuv Misa for Ritzicha, the intended Ritzicha, there's another Beinonim L'Chavero for the Chiyuv Mamon of the Balas HaKsuba. In such a case, since there are two chiyuv, both of which are Beinonim L'Chavero, we're going to apply the principle of Rava, Mamon Lezeh and Nefashos Lezeh, and therefore we're going to apply we're going to suspend the Kimlev the Rabbinei, and we're going to impose two punishments. However, in a case where the Chiyuv Misa has nothing to do with Ploni Almoni, it's not Beinonim L'Chavero, but rather Beinonim L'Makom. In such a case, it's misa umamon lechad. That's called lechad. In other words, according to Shitas HaTosfos, a chiv lashamayim is neutral, so to speak. It doesn't point us in any particular direction, and therefore, if that chiv misa, at the same time the chiv misa is involved with the chiv mamon, then the Torah says kimlei b'derabamine. But if we separate between the two, because the chiyuv misa is for a different adam, because it's bein adam lechavero, then we're going to apply the principle of rava misa lezeh umam lezeh. And Tosis adds another point there, which is pretty far out, and he says yesh le nirtzach din shel baldavar al chiyuv misa shel ritzicha. The nirtzach himself is a baldavar. We'll see how that pans out. Again, so that's the sheet of Tosfos. So just to summarize, we have the sheet of Rashi, We have the sheet of Rashi number one, the way Tosfos understood Rashi, in which case a misal Hashemayim is mavon lezeh, misal lezeh. That Tosfos says is an impossible position to maintain because it's against the Mishnah of Madlik Gedisha Shalaver B'Shabbos, because that's misal Hashemayim, and yet the Mishnah says explicitly that he's potter from paying for the Gadish. Then we have the other alternative understanding of Rashi, which is based on the Yad Ramah, and the Yad Ramah is claiming that Rashi Shita would be the following: that if both the Truma and the Shirayim were owned by the same individual, in such a case we would say it's Misa Umoan Lechad. Why? Because the Chiv Misa now becomes a Chiv Misa that's related to or connected to the Mammon. Even again, as we said a million times over yesterday, the Chiv Misa has nothing to do with the Mammon. It doesn't matter whose Truma it is. But nevertheless, it gives us that linkage, that Tziruf, that allows us to call it Chad. Masha Enkein, in the case where the Truma is owned by somebody, and the Shrine is owned by somebody else, we don't have the linkage between that chiyuv and the other chiyuv. Now, in a case where the mammon is owned by the same person who not only suffered the damage, but whose object went up in flames on Shabbos with the violation of Shabbos, then in such a case it's going to be considered lechad, because the chiyuv misa is for burning his gadish, and he's the bala gadish. So in such a case, it's all one. It's called Chad, and we apply the principle of Kimlei Rabbi even according to Rava. So when is Rava going to say Misal Chad, Umam Lechad, that it's Blazel Lezeh? That's only in a case where there are two different Bailim. That's the case that we're gonna deal with. And then we have finally the Shita of Tosfos, and Tosfos wants to say that the Misal Lezeh, Umam Lezeh is only in a case of Ritzicha, or similar cases that you can find where it's Bein Adam Lechavero, and we double the Bein Adam Lechavero. There's the Misa aspect of the Chiv Misa of Bein Adam Lechavero, where the Nirtzach is about Dovar. And number two, we're going to have the Mammon, which belongs to somebody else, and now there's a Chiv Mammon of a different Bein Adam Lechaver. Now, what we said before, that according to Tosfos, the Nirtzach himself is a Bal Dovar, this is a Sugya Masech Demakis. The Gemara says that Nimtzachem Em Karv Apostle Eidusim V'Teila. And what happens with the Nirtzach? If the Nirtzach was watching the knife go into his body, he becomes part of the Kat, and he's possibly Eidus, and he passes the entire Kat. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, we can never put a Rotzeach to death. Because so the Gemara says that the Nirtzach is a Baal Dover. He's not an Eid. And if he's not an Eid, then he doesn't undermine the Eidus, and you don't apply the principle of Nirtzachem Karv Apostle. Now we get to the Ramban. Do you have the Ramban on the same page? You're looking for Os Reish Gimel. Is that on that same page? Oh, good, good, good. So now we have the Ramban. The Ramban is a short piece, and then we get to the Reed. That's the main piece. The Ramban says that the Chiyuv Misa of Ritzicha is also a Chiyuv LaShamayim. It's a Chiyuv LaShamayim. And if that be the case, then we don't understand why Rava says in Edim Zomimim that we're going to apply the principle of Misa Lezeh, Umam Lezeh, and the Edim will pay in addition to being put to death. Says the Ramban that the Chiyuv Misa of Edim Zomimim is very different than any other case of Ritzicha or the like, because the Torah says, Yasisim lo kasha zomam lasos li achiv. The Torah went out of its way, says the Ramban, to tell you that your punishment is because of li achiv, because what you wanted to mete out to li achiv. And that sets up Misa Lezeh, Umam Lezeh, which means that there are two li achivs over here. The Torah says you have to punish both for what he wanted to do to this achiv and for what he wanted to do to this achiv. So for example, if we take the boel, then li achiv means to put the edim to death because they wanted to put the boel to death. If you talk about the ksuba, that's a different li achiv. And that makes it into mamal lezeh umisa lezeh. The difference between the Ramban and Tosfos is almost Well, I shouldn't say it's a minor difference, but what I mean to say is that the Ramban conceptually is on the same page as Tosfos, namely that Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh, is because there are two B'nai Adam. But whereas Tosfos says that in every case of a Tzicha, there are two B'nai Adam, if he damages somebody else's property. The Ramban is unwilling to say that because the Ramban says that in Misal Shemayim we never say Misal Azeh Umam Azeh, and Ritzicha is also Misal Shemayim. He's not willing to say that you're getting the death penalty because of or as a result of the Nirtzach. But the exception to the rule, when do we say that it's not Misal Shemayim but it's Misal Liadam, that somebody has a tviya on you? That's the case of Einim Zomim by virtue of the pasuk V'yasisim Lo Kasher Zom. Now we get to the Ri. The Ri wants to reinterpret Rashi. And the Ri wants to say that in the case of Truma, of Rav Ashi, we're talking about two different Meisim. So it's an overlap of two different Meisim. Masha Enkin and Gadish is only one Meisim. So it means while he's eating the Truma, he destroys someone's Shirayim. That's an overlap or a sink in time of two different Meisim. That's called Misa Lezeh Umam Lezeh. There's no connection between the two, but if we could connect the two, the Chiv Misa and the Chiv Mamon, by collapsing them into one Misa, then we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbanei even according to Rav. So therefore, if with one action he's Chayav Misa for violating the Shabbos and for destroying his friend's Gadish, right, that's Madlikas Gedisha Chaver B'Shabbos, then we're going to apply Kimlei D'Rabbanei even according to Rav. When do we not apply Kimlei D'Rabbanei according to Rav? When there are two different Meisim. On the one hand, he ate somebody's Truma, and on the other hand, he destroyed someone's Shirayim. So he's Chayav Misa feeding the Truma, that's one Meisim called the Meisim Achila, and there's another Meisim of Hezek vis-a-vis the Shirayim Shel Chaver, Korah Shirayim Shel Chaver, two Meisim. That's considered Misa Lezeh Umam Lezeh. That's what Rashi had in mind when he said that according to Rav Ashi, even though it's Misa Lezeh Umam Lezeh, nevertheless we apply the principle of Kimlev D'Rabbini, and Rav would disagree because there are two Meisim. So, you know, you have two hands. You have a right hand and a left hand. If he incurs a Chiv Misa with his right hand and a Chiv Mam with his left hand, those are two Meisim. And in case of two Meisim, they're totally separated. They happen to be connected only in time, but not beyond that. That's when Rav says that we're going to give them both punishments because there's no connection between these two Meisim. When does Rava say that? So the paradigm in case of Rava is Edim Zomimim. And here's where the Rashba is going to object to the Ri. The Rashba understood that Edim Zomimim, who came in to testify that this woman had his nus, that's only one Maisa. That's not two Maisim. Why does the Ri consider this Edus as two different Maisim? And the Ri gives a whole spiel that they could have been made on the Boel without being made in the Velas. They didn't recognize the Velas, or vice versa. It's two different Maisim. So we explain the following, that according to the Ri, when witnesses testify in the Boel and the Velas, that's really two Edios. And we proved it from the Halacha of what? Of Palginin Dibur. Do you remember this? So again, for those who weren't here yesterday, so in Palginin Dibura, when a man testifies against a Boel and against a Niveles, if he cannot be believed against the Niveles, we'll still believe him against the Boel. Again, it will need another aid, but Huvi Achim Itztarfim Lehargo, and we'll kill the Boel. Or in the case of Revia, Ploni Ravani Lirtzoni, so we're going to believe him as far as the Rovea, not as far as himself, and that's called Palginin Dibura. The longest thing, the mechanics of Palginin Dibura is that we separate the Edus into two. And that's what the Ri is trying to prove. I'll prove to you that they're two separate Edios. Again, he may have said it all in Tokide Dibur. He mentioned the name of the Bohel and he identified the Nivellus in one swoop. But that's two Edios. It's a Maisa God against the Bohel. It's a separate Maisa God against the Nivellus. And I'll prove it to you, says the Ri, because if he didn't identify one or the other, we would still accept his Edus. And Palgina Dibura proves it, because how can we separate the... We have a principle called Eidus Shebatla Miktasa, Batla Kula. So if there's a psul in the Eidus, we have to throw out the entire Eidus, even though there's no psul in part of the Eidus. We view it as one entity, and it's indivisible. And yet, we're going to say Palgina Dibura. And how do you explain Palgidi Dibur when you say Batla Miktasa Batla Kula? And the answer is it's two separate adios. But the Rashba doesn't understand. Now it's interesting. If you take a look at the Rashba, which you'll see here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. So if you keep one finger on the Rashba, it's about 10 lines down from the top of the page. A Nira La Rashba. So you'll see that he quotes a case of three pairs of Edom. Am I right? Let me just make sure I'm right here. I just want to make the Cheshav. Yeah, Chazar. You see that where he says Chazar Vehivi or Edom?
Yeah.
Ehabal Edom? Oh, that's the third pair of Edom. So let's just go over the case. The first pair of Edom testified that she had this nuts. The second pair of Edom, which the father brought into Bezdin, testified that the first pair of Edom were with them in Ashkash. So that was Hazom. Now, the Baal turns around, he brings a third pair of Edom to be Mazim, the father's Edom. How could they have said that the first pair of Edom were with us in Ashkash when that pair of Edom, which the Av subpoenaed into Bezdin, were, at that time, they were in Chicago, they weren't in Ashkash. And the Gemara says in such a case that we apply a double punishment. Right? Let's just see. Ne'rogim u'meshalmim. You see that? Ne'rogim u'meshalmim. Which means that it's a case of moment lezeh, unefashis lezeh. Why? Because the Edei Abba, the Edei Av, who are now becoming Zomimim in the third round, are testifying against the Edei Abal, number one, that they tried to be mafsid, on the ksuba, and number two, the chiv misa.
Right.
And that's called the Mamel Lezeh. Says the Rashba, I don't get it. This is certainly a case of Masa Echad. The Rish says if it's Masa Echad, that's called Mamel Misa Lechan. And yet, in this case of Edom Zomimim, the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamel are based on one single testimony. Let's see it inside. He says the following. He says, "V'hosam al hazoma achas b'alehem hakol." If you underline those words, what does it mean? Al hazoma achas b'alehem hakol, and that means that there's only one hazoma. So the answer to this question, we believe, and that's what we discussed yesterday, is that according to the Ri, it's not hazoma achas b'alehem hakol. Yeah, it's true that there's one imanu ayisem, and they certainly, according to the Torah law, they plagiarize themselves. But the plagiary itself, right, was a double avos against two different individuals. And if there are two avos, if there's an avos against two different individuals for two different losses, one is for a loss of nefesh and one is for a loss of mammon, that's considered shnei meisim. And if that's considered Shnei Meisim, that's the Ri. And now after this, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. We didn't get to Rabbeinu Tam yesterday. That's still down the line. But let's talk about the two Edios here for a second. What are the two Edios? And we want to defend the Ri's understanding of Rashi. The two Edios are, number one, the Edus against the Boel, and on the other hand, the Edus against the Nivelis, correct? And we said the following. Why is it considered two Edios? Because you could have one without the other. So, for example, he could testify in the Boel without testifying on the Bas. He could testify in the Bas without testifying against the Boel. Now, here's the question that we want to address. The Chiv Nefashos, in this case, is vis-a-vis whom? Again, he testifies on both the Boel and the Nevelis. Because again, she's going to lose her ksuba. And that's why the Edom Zomim have to pay for the ksuba. Well, obviously, if he's going to pay the ksuba, then they're testifying against not only the Boel, but even the Nevelis. Now, as far as the Nevelis is concerned, what's her deal? She loses her ksuba, that's it?
She gets killed.
Yeah. No, she's going to get killed. Then that should be Misa Umam Lechat. Right? Because what are we saying? We're saying that there are two Anashim here, and since there are two Anashim, there's no overlap in the Edus, there's no Mitzarev, and that's why the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yosef in this case that the Edi the Eidei Ha'av, meaning the Eidim Zomim, will get killed, plus they'll pay Mamon, because there's no overlap between the two. But in truth, there is an overlap between the two. Because vis-a-vis the Neveles, meaning the Vas, there's both a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Mamon. So why don't we just, for time being, for purpose of Kim Levi the Rav Mine, why don't we just focus on the Eidus against the Vas? And if we focus on the Eidus against the Vas, then it's one person who's both Chayav Misa and loses the Ksuba. So if that be the case, we can now apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rav Mine just based on the Eidus of the Vas. Vos Artmir, why should I be bothered by the fact that there's also at the same time an Eidus against the Boel? That doesn't have to undermine the principle of Kim Leib the Rami.
Good, there's a custom of Kim Lechosa. They use that kind of, in the case of Bas Kohen, why you give him the punishment of the man and not the woman. She's mistreated with the Chenek, you give it to the Chenek and the Eden Zomim. Why? Because of Lechib Lechosa, apply the same rule here.
So again, I'm not sure about that sugya, but let's just understand what we're saying here together. We're saying the following, that there are two Anoshim here, and that according to the Re sets up two different Avios. And one Eidus is a Chiyuv Misa vis-a-vis so-and-so. The other is a Chiyuv Mamon vis-a-vis so-and-so. We're separating between the two. And that's why we're going to apply the principle of Misa L'zeh, Mamon L'zeh. And we're going to impose two punishments. Why, again, the lundus here of the Re is that there's an Eidus that's directed against, we'll call it the Boel. And right, and that's a Chiyuv Misa to one Ish. Ish, I don't mean Ish a male here in this case, right? I mean a person, right? An individual. Ben Anosh, Ben Adam. Right? Ben Adam. And then there's an Eidus here against the Neveles to lose Haksuba. Now let's just think about this for a second. If there's Eidus against the Neveles that she loses Haksuba, it must be that they testify that she willingly submitted herself to this act of adultery. If that be the case, then there's an overlap. I don't know, is the word convergence, is there such a word in English to converge? Yeah. There's a convergence here of both a Chiv Misa and a Chiv Mamon to one person, meaning that the Eidim tried to kill her and at the same time have a lose the Ksuba. So why don't we apply Kim Levi Ramani just on that basis alone? So forget about the fact that there's another person that's Chayv Misa. I don't care about the other person.
But the Torah does. The point is, in Eden Zomim, I could be wrong, is that when there's two Misas here, once from a man and once from a woman, by my testimony is in Eden Zomim, I'm only punished with the Misa of the man and not the woman.
I don't know. It depends who, if they gave Hasra to the woman. I don't know all the details in the Sugya, Yechiel, that we could take up in a separate pace. But I'm just saying, in terms of the structure of Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh, it's a little bit strange to say that since the Eidus is against two different anoshim, one for Mamon and one for Misa, therefore it's Mamon Lezeh, Misa Lezeh, when as far as she herself is concerned, they're testifying on a Mises news. That's the question that we want to ask. Now Rabosai,
there's possibly that the Eidim,
where can I put this down? Do you have a place to maybe just clear off a place over here? Yeah,
the Eidim are not coming to be Mises Ksuba. That's an indirect result. I mean, there's a case where the Eidim can say, we didn't come to be Mises Ksuba, we didn't come to kill the Baal, we came to be Mises Ksuba.
Right, that's a different that's a different sugya. The sugya that we're talking about.
What I'm saying, there's a difference in the Eidus. So you can say, according to the read, that it's not that they were coming to be Master Ksuber, they were coming to kill her. And Bederach Agav, she is...
No, but I'm just saying, keep in mind, Herb, that if that be the case, then there would be no Chiyuv Mamon. We're not talking about a case where there's no Chiyuv Mamon.
There is a Chiyuv Mamon, but it comes indirectly. It's not directly...
Well, if they claim they never had a... If they could prove that they never had his mama, the vis-a-vis the mama, then they wouldn't be chayv under kasha zoma. We're talking about a case where they're chayv under kasha zoma, and they're going to get two punishments. They're going to be killed under kasha zoma.
I'm not saying when they say or they don't say. I'm saying the Mencius, you can separate what they're coming on. They're not coming on they're not coming on the Ksuva.
But you can't separate them Bnei Adam, right? What was the point of the Re? The Re wanted to set up two Edios here because and Mamon Lezeh, Misa Lezeh, because they're two Bnei Adam.
Right.
That's not really fair. You know, the Re is really overstepping his bounds. So look, what I just did now was to try to summarize about three pages here in the Mishkanos HaRoim, starting from page Kuf Pei. And the truth is, when you summarize something, you and I know, and I'm admitting here my fault, you lose something in the summary. You know, there are a lot of subtle points here that we missed. So let's take a few minutes of time and emphasize some of the points that are important but were not included in the summary. The summary was really good, I think, both for me and for you, especially for you if you weren't here yesterday. But I do think that there are a couple of important points here that we should see inside. So let's call it point number one. Point number one, which you'll see on page Kuf Pei, on the top of the left column, is an attempt to understand why it is that the statement of Rav Ashi, again, keep in mind, Rav Ashi's agenda is to come up with a case of Kimlev de Ravine, is a case where he owns the Truma. Right? Why is that significant? And he suggests the following svara. And he says the following. That the Truma is his, and it doesn't belong to the Baal HaShirayim. That's considered Misa Lazeh, Umaman Lazeh. And if you take a look at the paragraph that starts with the words Veha did Nakat, you'll see the following on the third line. Ilu Havi Nakat, Truma Vishirayim Shal Chavero, if would it be that both the Truma and the Shirayim were owned by the same person? Hayamakom litos. Rav Ashi is afraid that we could have come to the mistaken conclusion. And we could have said that that's a case of chad. Why? And now we get back to the svar that we mentioned earlier called machmas hamamon mes. What does that mean, machmas hamamon mes? If this person, whatever you want to call him, he owns the mamon, he owns the truma, and now you're chayv misa because you ate his truma, that's machmas mamon chavero. And if that mamon chavero, right, is the linkage, it could explain why in this case we apply kimlev the rabbinate, Rav Ashi applies kimlev the rabbinate to make him pay, to exempt him from payment for the shirayim. That's the last thing that Rav Ashi wants to do over here, because Rav Ashi wants to point out that even in a case of Misa Lezeh Umama Lezeh, we still apply Kimlev Midramine. And in order to convey that message, he went out of his way to point out that the Truma was owned by someone else. You might have thought, if the Truma is owned by the Baal HaShirayim, then there's something called Mes Machmas Momen Chavero. Again, a very strange concept. And it has to be analyzed. But he's saying Mes Machmas Momen Chavero. And what does that mean, Machmas Mamon Chaver? The Chiv Mamon comes from the same person who owns the Truma and generates the Misa for eating Truma. Again, the Chiv Misa for eating Truma has nothing to do with the fact that he owns the Truma. But it's enough of a linkage in order to call it Chad and apply the principle of Kimlei Ravino. You know, in the light of Rava, who says that Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh suspends and undermines Kimlei Ravino, we're desperately looking for a case where it would be Misa Lezeh, Mamon Lechad. And the answer is, well, if the Truma happens to be owned by the same guy whose Mamon is going up in smoke, then we're going to apply the principle of Chad. Maybe that's Kimlei Ravino. Rav Ashi wants to go a lot further. Rav Ashi wants the Hakarainen cup that even if it's Misa Lezeh, Umama Lezeh, we still apply the principle of Kimlev the Ramine, and therefore even if the Truma is owned by one person and the Shirayim are owned by somebody else, we're still going to apply Kimlev Ramine. There's no linkage whatsoever. It's purely coincidental. Or, for example, in the Ri's frame of reference, it's two different Meisim that happen to coincide. We're still going to apply Kimlev the Ramine. Everything depends upon two Chiyuvim that are Chalb Vasachas. That's enough to apply Kimlev the Ramine. So that's point number one. Point number two is that we're in deep trouble here. Why? Because if we're saying that Misa Lezeh and Mama Lezeh applies according to Rashi whenever you have a Misa LaShamayim and a Mamon to pay for someone's Mamon, then why did Rashi wake up we hinted at this before, but I want you to see it inside. He really fleshes it out here in the paragraph that starts Ulam Tzarech Iyun Gadol, and I don't think he offers an answer to this question. Now we'll see his Yesh Lomer in the next paragraph, but I don't know. Maybe you'll tell me that he's as zot at this. I don't know, but here's the Tzarech Iyun Gadol. He says the following. We've been discussing until Rav Ashi the case of Ochel Truma Shel Kohen or Ochel Chelev Shel Chavera. And in all those cases, it went by pretty smoothly that we applied the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbinei. Rashi nowhere raises the objection, well, it's Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh. And if we're saying that Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh applies whenever there's a Chiv Misa L'Shamayim, and the Chiv Mamon is Bein Odom L'Chavero, it's a monetary obligation to pay off his Mamon, is compensate him for his loss, that's called Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh. Well, if that be the case, then way back when we were talking about Zar Shachal Truma Shal HaKohen or Chelev Chal Chaveru, right? There again he should have said that this is against Rava and Masechta Sanhedrin. V'yesh Lomar, and he wants to suggest in the next paragraph that Heichosh Achiv Mamadu Al Achilas Truma Gufa is Kevan de Lomish Kachas Hanaz Grono V'lochi of Misa. He wants to say the following, that the previous Ukimtos are very unique. What makes them unique? The uniqueness is that here it's certainly lachad. Why is it lachad? He says because there's no way that you could take his truma without incurring a chiyuv misa. Meaning, taking his truma means the very moment that you swallow his truma, it goes down your belly, and you have a great deal of hanah from that. Right, I always say the best thing about a fast day is breaking the fast. Right, so here's what it is: he eats the truma, and at the very moment that he enjoys the benefit of the truma, that's when he's not only chayef for truma, but he's also chayef to pay for hanos grona. Right, you remember there are two chivim in mazik. There's one called mazik for the chefta. You destroy the chefta. There's another mazik called hana. So when you have hana, because it goes down, so how could you be chayav for? Right, let's read utamid. You see on the third line the tamid by dadi ninhu. The tamid la dadi ninhu. You know what? Let's go back one line. I think he says it better in the previous line. He says came into bahach chefetz. Dainu atruma lo mishkachas hanos grono below chiv misa. In other words, the chiv mamon is always going to generate a chiv misa. Ein lecha kesher o tziruv gadol misa. That's the greatest tziruv to make it into chad, because it's impossible to separate between the chiv misa and the chiv mamon. There's no way that you could have been chai for the mamon without being chai for the misa, and that's considered chad. Now, I don't know whether or not, this I had an argument yesterday with Rabbi Sachtovich Lita, I don't know whether or not we could apply that principle of this svara to the case of Madlik Adisha Shel Chavera. Again, there were many different ways that he could have been Mechal Shabbos. He didn't have to choose this way, but given the fact that the only match that he had, and the only thing that would go up in flame, was this gentleman's Gaddish, so maybe we would say the following, that it's impossible to be Chayev Misa here without being Chayev Mamon. I don't know. Do we look at every single case, or do we say, well, he could have done it differently in a different way, or in a different set of if the scenario was different? I don't know. In other words, his lumbus here is that there's no way possible under the sun that you could incur a chiyuv mamon for enjoying the benefit of this truma without being in violation of zar shalchal truma and being chayiv mi. So that's a linkage. Can we say, therefore, that would answer the question of Tosis about Madlik Kedisha Chavera, that there's no way he could have violated Shabbos without burning this guy's Gaddish? I don't know. You know, I could have thought of many different ways he could violate Shabbos. He could have burnt down something else. He didn't have to burn down his friend's Gaddish. I don't know. But it's very interesting, this concept of linkage, in order to set up Chad and apply Kimle, because of the impossibility of incurring one chiyuv without by definition incurring the other chiyuv. Okay. Now, he claims here, the Mishkanos HaRoim, that he found this svara in the Ra'ah. So again, if you want to keep a scorecard here, there's the Yad Ramah that we spent a lot of time on, that's on the next page, Kuf Pei Aleph, and then there's the Ra'ah here on page Kuf Pei. And he wants to identify this Yad Ramah, I'm sorry, this Ra'ah, Rabbaron HaLevi, right, he's one of the Chachmei Svara, with this Svara that he just said about Hechrech. And what does he find in the language of the Ra'ah? He says the following. He says, "Veha dehasam misal lezevet hashlum lezeh." Shuchayev tashlum lebal agodes shumisa l'shamayim lefisha hidlik v'shabes shaharei haya efshal lahazik zev v'shara yomim. In other words, when we isolate the hezek here of burning down Yenim's Gaddish, that has nothing to do with Shabbos. He could have easily have burnt down his friend's Gaddish on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday without incurring a chiyuv misa. So obviously the overlap, what I call the convergence of chiyuv mamon and chiyuv misa, is purely coincidental. Why? Because there's no hechrech. You know, in the case of truma, if it's Yenim's truma, then there's no way that he can be mazik that truma without incurring a chiyuv misa. But in the case of the Gaddish, he could have easily have been mazik his Gaddish without what? Without incurring a chiyuv misa for Shabbos.
Therefore,
so he wants to say there's not enough of a tziruf. Meaning the only case of a tziruf which sets up chad, and this is going to defend Tosfos' objection against Rashi, is only going to be the case of truma, where the mazik and the chiv misa, you follow what I mean? The moment in the misa are, if I could use the phrase habahatalia, or in modern Hebrew I'd say hechrech. Hechrech means it's not a coincidence. It has to be that way.
Necessary
dependence, if you want to call it.
In the case of Shirayim, you also could have done it a little differently.
Oh, so in the case of Shirayim, that's going to be Mamon Lezeh or Misa Lezeh, and that's going to be the Chiddush of Rav Ashi, that even though it's Mamon Lezeh or Misa Lezeh, I'm still going to apply the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbinei. And Rav is going to object. He's going to say, because there's no tziruf, there's no convergence, there's no interdependence. And in what case would Rav apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbinay? That's the case of Truma. And that's why Rashi didn't say anything about all the cases that we had until now of Truma, because in those cases, he's chayav for the Truma itself, for the Hanor that he has for the Truma. That's the moment that he's paying for. Now, Mashen came here in the case where he destroys someone's Shirayim, he's paying for the Shirayim. So what connection is there between the Shirayim and the Issa Zaras, for which he's chayav Misa? There's no connection. That's why I say, Rabosa, you know, one thing that I learned from Brisk is this concept of Mitzarif. They use it left, right, and center. And in this case, I honestly don't know how you can move from one step towards understanding the sugya without the concept of a Mitzarif. Rava's concept is that Kim Levi the Rabinei is not a coincidence of two different chiyuvim of Misa and Mama. If it's a coincidence, the man is operating with two different hands simultaneously. That's not Kim Levi the Rabinei. Kim Levi the Rabinei requires a mitzarev. Now, how far do you have to go with this mitzarev? This V.H. Lomar is going as far as you could possibly go. The mitzarev has to fit the following qualifications. It's behechrech. There's no way that you can separate the chiyuv mamon from the chiyuv misa. And that's why the Ra'ah emphasizes that he could have equally have destroyed his friend's gadish on any day of the week. That's going to be a case where there's no mitzarev. And hence we have Tosfos Kasha. How, if Rava in Sanhedrin, in the case of Edim Zom, requires a mitzarev, and right, and clearly in the case of these two Elios, there's no mitzarev, then if that be the case, then what's Rava going to do with the Mishnah of Amadlikas HaGodesh? There too, there's no mitzarev. So maybe the answer to Tosfos' question is that there is a mitzarev, because it's Shabbos and it's not Sunday. And on Shabbos, the only way he can burn down his Godesh is by violating the Shabbos. I don't know. He's not with the Ra'ah. He's not willing to tolerate that. And now we get to the Marsha. The Marsha is very, very strange. If anybody could help me with the Marsha, you know, the Marsha was 5 centuries ago, and you know, he goes down in the annals of Talmudic history as one of the greats. I mean, I told you my father said in his shtetl, there was no such thing as learning Tosfos without the Marsha. I was 5 years in the Rav Shia, he quoted the Marsha once, just to disagree with the Marsha, that was it. But I'm telling you, back in the old country, the Marsha was like it. And honestly, I'll tell you what my compromise is. I make the distinction between halacha and agadita. There's no way you can learn agadita without the marsha. I'm not telling you that you'll understand the marsha. That I'm not claiming. The marsha is very hard to understand. He speaks a different language. I mean, it's just his syntax is totally different. But you can't learn an agadita without the marsha. That's my claim. You know, the Zionists will say you can't learn an agadita without Rav Kook. The trouble is that Rav Kook only wrote on very few Masechtas, but the main thing is he wrote on Masechta Brachas, which is 90% Agadita. And here I would admit to you that you can't learn Masechta Brachas without Rav Kook because of the heavy Agadita. I went through the Masifta on Brachas. How many times do you think I found in all the Agaditas and Brachas that they quote Rav Kook? No. You guessed it. Zippo. Okay, so write a letter to the editor of the...
Is that a political statement?
That's a political statement, absolutely. You can't learn Agadot and Brachos without Rav Kook. Now, I'm not going to tell you you understand Rav Kook. That I'm not going to tell you. I sweat it out. I have many, many shiurim on Rav Kook on the set of Brachos. And how much of it did Rav Kook have in mind? You know what I mean? It's like... phenomenology, you know, you look at a painting, you know, you come up with any interpretation. I mean, that's the furthest thing from the mind of the artist, but who cares? What difference does it make, you know? That's the way I understand the painting, you know what I'm saying? So here's what the Marsha has to say. And he's trying to explain Rashi. Hecha sha'achal truma shalov akarshi ra'im shachavim mikin yifashis lezeh umamu lezeh. Why? Because he says that, you know why he's chayev misan truma, because he ate this guy's truma. I mean, in this case, he ate his own truma. Do you follow what I'm saying? If he would eat his friend's truma, then Rashi would agree that that's called chad, because if he's mazik his friend and he's chayev misa for eating his friend's truma, Zokta Marsha, that's called Chad. I'll read it to you inside. He says, Avol on the fourth line, Im Ochal Truma Shel Chavero, Fikara Gamkin Shiraim Shel Oso Adam, Mikri Maman Unifashis Lechad. Ribbono Shalom. The man does two actions. Help me out over here, Rabosa. He's eating Truma, he's Chayav Misa Fachila. He takes his other hand, you know, his one hand, he's feeding the Truma into his mouth, and with the other hand, he's putting on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. No, just kidding. With his other hand, he's ripping his friend's shirayim. Is up to Marsha. That's called misa lezeh, umaman lezeh. Why? Because it's not his shirayim. But if it would have been his shirayim, then that's misa lezeh. Why is that misa lezeh? Because it's achal truma shel chavero. It's unbelievable. I'm tempted to think here, Raposa, again, what I'm about to tell you is mamish dok v'tishka, that the Marsha understood that all we need is to set up a kimle v'derabim hineh. So let's say, for example, a man eats truma, and this truma belongs to someone else. We already have the right to set up a kimle v'derabim hineh. Why? Because he ate truma and he's chayav misa. You can't make him pay more. Once we have the ability to set up kibbutz with the rabbi, we're going to expand it to the shirayim as well. Well, how can you expand it to the shirayim? I don't get it. It's a separate maaseh of kriya shirayim, achila luchud and true, and kriya luchud, kriya with an ayin, right? And the Marsha understands that this man is oseg b'shnei dvarim. You know, he's involved in two things, but it's one man who's involved in two things. What's the connection between the two things? Nothing other than the fact that both involvements lead us to the same address. You know, we knock on the same door because the guy on the other side of the door is the owner of the truma and he's the owner of the shirayim. The man eats his friend shirayim, he rips his clothing, and we're going to say kimle the rabbi. That's called misa lezeh. That's called misa umam lecha. Why? Because he owns the truma. I'm tempted to think that he's saying that eating the truma and destroying a shiraim is like one miser. Again, it's the last thing in the world. If you said this in the Rav Shi, he'd throw you out. But it's one miser. Why is it one miser? Because he's hitting up on the same guy who's on the other side of the door. He's the owner of the truma and he's the owner of the shiraim.
Does the market make a difference between the order? In other words, what if he tore the shiraim first? And then he
right, that's the sugya of Hadbar, that we spend so much time on, that if he's magbia the truma, then he's chayv to pay the coin for the truma. You can't say kimlei rameni when later on he eats the truma. And then we get to the Adramah.
So the point is that it happens to one person, even though they're clearly shnei maasim.
Right. I go into your house and I eat your truma, and I go into your house and I rip you, and I bang your table and I break your table. So it's your house and it's your truma. That allows me, right? And that allows me to implement kimlev the rabbini. Why? Because as far as your truma is concerned, then there's a chiv misa. And now when I go ahead and I destroy your shirayim, then I'm destroying my chiv moment is somehow connected to that chiv misa. Even though again, it doesn't make sense because your chiv misa is for achila, has something to do with the shirayim.
Yeah, but Marshall might be saying that he's a ben mavis, he can't do anything else. He's kiyu for as if he already received the death penalty, and therefore it's not possible.
I don't know. Well, let's just go on to the Adramah, because I have a lot to talk to you about today, and I want to just stop in the Adramah.
You mentioned last week, the difference between you mentioned from the Rav about a chiyuv and an iser.
The Rav always discussed the difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah. In certain cases, like Avelus and so forth, there's a difference between the Maisa and the Kiyum. What we saw here in the Mishkan HaSarah, which I thought was fascinating, was the differentiating between the Maisa Avera and the Kiyum Avera. And that's going to come up today when we talk about Akira L'Tzorach HaNoch, that in Hilchus Hotzah, from Melechus Hotzah, we're going to have the Maisa Akira as part of the Maisa Avera, even though the Chiv is suspended until he completes the Hanoch. And the question is, where do we fit in Kimlei the Rab? If at the same time, he's in violation of
If you go according to the Yisra, not the Chiv, you could have some understanding of the Marsha.
But again, there are two Maisim here. There's Achila and Kriya. I don't know, It just doesn't pass my brain. Maybe if I stoop the cup, I don't know. It just doesn't, it doesn't go in.
Sometimes it's better to have stoop it than nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. What can I tell you? Imagine a man has in his living room, he's got a vase, and he has a piece of art. Right,
yeah.
And with two hands he destroys both, but in one case he's chayav misa, right?
So you're looking,
hey, what are you going to say? That it's a kibbutz.
You're looking at the chiyuv of what he does. I'm talking about the yisur.
But again, you want to say it's one and the same yisur? I mean, I wouldn't compare the yisur of achilas truma in the case of a zar, zar lo yochel ki kodeshu, to the case of mazik, where the Torah says, makam behem yishal meno, whatever the pasuk might be. It's two different averes. Again, the only connection between these Averis, before I saw the Marsha, would have been simultaneity in time. Comes along the Marsha, he says, no, there's another connection.
Right.
Why? Because it's his truma. Who cares if it's his truma? That's what I don't understand. Anyway, let's go on to the Adramah. Maybe we'll have better luck with the Adramah. Okay. So we're back into the Hazama mode, and we're talking about three pairs of Edim, and the third pair of Eidim, which is brought by the Baal, just like he brought the first pair of Eidim, but the third pair of Eidim is going to be Mazim, the second pair of Eidim, the Eidei Ha'ah. And Rav Yosef says that in this case, we're going to apply the principle of Misa Lezeh, Umam and Lezeh. We're going to give two punishments. The Eidei Ha'ah are going to get killed for what they wanted to do to the Eidei Ha'Baal. And at the same time, they're going to have to pay Mammon, because as a result of the Eidus of the Eidei Ha'av, the Baal will have to lose his ksuba, and Nochtetzi he'll have to pay the heavy penalty of Motzi Shem. Says the Yad Ramah, Tikasavar of Yosef, Ki amrinon, when do we apply the principle of kim levi the ram? In ain't on the basis of hecha de misa v'tashluv lechad, avol itrei lo amrinon. So what he's saying here is this svara that the two victims, we'll see how he develops this svara, and there's one victim who is going to be put to death. Again, we're going back to the theoretical, right? In other words, before the Azama, right? Before the Azama, the Edei Av are putting to death the Edei Abal, correct? Because the Edei Abal tried to put the Boel and the Nevelis to death. So now the Edei Ha'av are trying to put the Edei Abal to death. So we have to put the Edei Av to death. But at the same time, there was another victim, so to speak, of the Edei Av, and that's the Baal. The Baal is going to lose his ksuba, etc., etc. And that's called, in the language of the Yad Ramah, Litrei Lo Amrina. You know, I always say Balabatish, you can understand this by saying that, well, why do I have to lose my rights to collect mama? Because he's going to be put to death for a different crime. What about me? Am I chopped liver? Says the Yad Ramah, this is against Reish Lakish. Why? Because the Mishnah says in Bava Kama, Hamad likes hagadish, and he kills an eved. He kills an eved, and he burns down a gadish. Now, according to the Yad Ramah and Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, in such a case, we have two victims. One victim suffered death, right? The eved was killed. And the other victim lost his gadish, which was a lit in flames. We should certainly apply the principle of misa lazeh, umam lazeh, two victims. And yet, Reish Lakish says in this case that he doesn't have to pay the gadish. He doesn't have to pay the baal gadish. Says the Yad Ramah, very, very clever diuk, that according to Reish Lakish, we don't accept Rav Yosef of Misa Lezeh, Umam Lezeh. I mean, it's very similar. The Yad Ramah reminds us of Rashi, that Rashi says that Rav Ashi in our sugya doesn't accept the principle of Misa Lezeh, Umam Lezeh. So too, Reish Lakish in Masechta Bava Kama, who patters up the Madlikas HaGadosh from paying the Gadosh because he kills the Gdi, here clearly there are two victims. This is not like the case of Shabbos. Now we're talking on a weekday. And yet, Reish Lakish says that he's parted from paying the Gadosh. It must be that he applies Kimli Ramani despite the fact that it's Misa Lezeh, Umam Lezeh, meaning Trey, you know, Trey victims. Ella, Kirab Yochanan. But rather, Rav Yosef holds like Rav Yochanan against Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that since Isho Mishum Chitzav, which means that when he burns down the Gadosh, he's sending out his Chitzim, that's all the continued burning is considered his Maisa, in this case Ritzicha, because he kills the Eved. And according to Rav Yochanan, if the Gadosh belongs... Now here's Rav Yochanan. This you have to underline. You have it underlined? Okay, this is important. Four lines up before the end of the paragraph. Dil Rav Yochanan, Hecha de Gadish de Chad, Vi Avda de Chad, Chayav al HaGadish. Rav Yochanan says the following, that if the Eved is owned by someone who also owns the Gadish, so that when he burnt down the Gadish, he killed the Eved of this Adon, who's the Baal HaGadish, then in such a case, we're going to say that he's Potter. He's Potter for the Gadish, I meant to say. He'll be put to death for killing the Eved, but he's Potter on the Gadish. He doesn't have to pay for the Gadish.
You wrote here, Chayav Ava.
This is the flip side of that. This is the flip side of what it was.
Did I get it wrong?
No, you just said the flip side. You said where it's owned by the same person, he would be Pater. Oh. Here he's writing if it's owned by different people, he'd be Chayav.
Okay. So if it's Gadish the Chad and after the Chad, then he's Chayav, correct? Oh. But let's take the flip case. Let's assume that the Gadish was owned by the Adon. It sounds, tell me if I'm wrong, like in such a case, we would say that he's Potter. that he's potter. Why is he potter? Because of kimle b'derabmineh. Now wait a second. I admit that the Adon owns the Eved. But what would be if the Adon killed the Eved? B'chayv misa. So the Avera of killing the Eved is not in any way impacted by the ownership of the Eved. I mean, this is beginning to remind me of the Marsha that I couldn't tolerate before. Do you follow what I'm saying? What we're saying over here is that Kimlei B'derabmineh is established by the joint ownership of the Adon, we'll call him Reuven, over both the Eved and the Gadish. I mean, that sounds like the Marsha who says the joint ownership of both the Truma and the Shirayim is going to set up a Kimlei B'derabmineh. And that makes it Misa Mobel Echad. I would have said that the Misa here is to the Eved. He killed the Eved. And if the Adon would have killed the Eved, you know, like in the case of Truma, you know, or let's take the case of Shirayim, you could say if he would have burnt down his own Shirayim, he wouldn't be Chayev. But if he killed his own Eved, he'd be Chayev. So I'm just wondering, would this be a support for the Marsha that if we can get somehow Kimlei B'derabmineh into the picture, because the killing of the Eved is related to the Bala Eved in the sense that he owns the Eved, so that already brings the Bala Eved into the picture here, and the Chiv Misa, for killing the Eved is somehow related to, like we said in the Marsha, the Bala Truma, it's related here to the Bala Eved, to the Adon of the Eved. And that alone is enough of a tziruf to allow me to apply the principle of Kimlei B'derabmineh and patur him up from from destroying the Gadish. I don't know. That's as far as I got here. But what I had prepared for you today is, you photocopied pages Kuf Tzadi, correct? That's what I wanted to discuss with you today. So on both sides. In order to understand Kuf Tzadi, we have to go through a sugya. And again, you have the sugya printed here on the page. I would prefer, if I had my choice, which I'm going to do myself, that we read it from the Gemara and Rashi. But whichever way, it's up to you. Gufa. We're on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Omer Rav Chisda. Mode Rav Nechunya ben Akona Begonev Chelbo Shal Chaver V'Ochlo Shu Chayev Shekvar Nischayev Begnev Akonim Sheyobo Lidei Iser Chelev. Notice the payment for the Chelev was already, so to speak, set or was generated for the moment that he stole the Chelev. He picked it up. He stole the chaylev. So once he picks it up, he has to pay for the chaylev. Right, Alan? This is your case from before. And then he eats the chaylev. So what happens? I'm not going to say Gloy Milsom Freya over here. I'm not going to say that because he incurred a chiyuv kares, therefore he's going to be potter for the gneva. He's already chayv for the gneva. You know, so afterwards he's chayv the kares for eating chaylev. That has nothing to do with the chiyuv mama and that he
incurred.
And it's not beit. Shekran is chayv the gneva kodem sheyovel idei iser chaylev. So the Gemara says, Lema, should we assume that Pliga de Rabbi Ovin, the Omar Rabbi Ovin, Azorek, Chetz Mitchilas Arba, Lesof Arba, Vekor Shirayim, Vali Choso Potur, Shakira, Tzorech, Hanochahu, Ochenami, Agbol, Tzorech, Achilohi. So we have a new element in the equation. And this is going to allow an expansion of Kimlei B'derabmineh, namely, Letzorech. That if you start an action, even though that action is not yet complete from the perspective of the Chiyuv Misa, right? So, for example, the Akira itself is not enough for the Chiyuv Misa, or for the case of a Gonev Chelev. So he picked up the Chelev again. He's going to put it into his mouth, but the picking it up itself is questionable, right? According to Rav Chisda, it's not part of the picture here of Chiyuv Kares for Chelev. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if we apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin? And Rabbi Ovin adds to the equation what's called Litzorech. And ostensibly, the Gemara says, I can argue that just like Akira is a Litzorech, as far as Meleches Hotzah is concerned, so too Hadba is going to be a litzorech as far as achil is concerned. So basically, The story of Kimlei the Rabbinei, which means the Chiyuv Misa, already begins way before the Chiyuv, at the moment that he does something for the purpose, as a preliminary, you know, it's almost like the concept of Hechsher Mitzvah. It's like a Hechsher Avera here. What's the Hechsher Avera of Achilas Chelev? It's lifting up the Chelev. What's the Hechsher Avera of Hotzah? Because I'm Chayv for Hotzah because I put it down in the Rishus HaRabim four Amos away. Is the Akira. The Akira is like a preliminary stage. I mean, unless the Gemara is going to reject this and say that Akira is not preliminary. Right? The Hadbah vis-a-vis the Achila and the Avera of Chelev, that's only a preliminary. It's a Hechsher. It's only an introduction. But in the case of what? Of Akira, Akira is more than just a preliminary stage.
There's a sense of the Mafreya here. You don't know what's going to happen right in the end at the beginning, right, but at the end, you cause the beginning to be connected to the end.
Right. The truth is, Yosef, if you're going to potter him up, which Rav Oman does, from paying for the Shirayim, that's only because at the end of the day, he places down the Chetz, or the Chetz actually lands itself, but four Amos away. So this tour on Shirayim is a conditional tour.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Right. And this is the phenomenon of Letzorech.
This is the phenomenon of Letzorech. And the Gemara is going to try to now analyze the concept of Letzorech and set up the requirements for Letzorech. At this point, the Gemara thinks Letzorech means carte blanche. Whenever it's a preliminary stage and it's necessary to get to your goal, then that's called Letzorech. And therefore, Hagbol Letzorech Achila is called Letzorech. And now the Gemara in two different Lashonos is going to add conditions to Letzorech. So let's see the first condition. Hachi hashta. Hasam I efsha la'nocha b'lo akira. Hacha efsha l'achiv lo agbadi b'ay gachim v'yachim. So the first condition, according to the first Lishna, is the following, that it's only considered Letzorech if it's I efsha b'ladav. Right, and it's not just a preliminary stage, but there was no way that you could achieve your goal without that preliminary stage. So this is like a hechsher sheyefsher without it. You know, like the famous Nitziv. The Nitziv wants to say that osik v'mitzvah potam v'mitzvah applies to building a sukkah, because he says that you can't be mekayem the mitzvah of sukkah without building a sukkah. Okay, there are a lot of kashas on that, but there's such a thing called a hechsher mitzvah which efsher, you can't do without it. And in the case of hanocha, there just simply is no way under the sun that you could accomplish hanocha without an akira. In fact, that's what hanocha is all about. Hanocha means the cessation or the completion of the akira. But in the case of Hagbah, I'll prove to you, it's almost, the Gemara is very naive over here. The Gemara has to convince us that the Hagbah is not a case of the Efshar. It's a luxury item. So the Gemara says he could have bent down and he could have eaten the truma, eaten the chelev. Inam. Now we have another condition. Hasam, in the case of Zrikas HaChetz, that's a unique case. Why? Because the Akira itself is right, exactly. Kiev Shalad Dura. There's no way that you can retrieve. It's irretrievable, irretractable. Lo Matzi Ma'adale. So, from the perspective of his action, the Letzorech here means that his action is a complete action, so to speak. You know, there's no The Akira itself is complete. Again, the Hotzah is not yet complete, or I should say Avara, right? But the action of Akira is a complete action. Like, for example, in Nesinas HaGet, right? If you throw the get in a way that you can still pull it back, the Gemara says that's not called a Nesina. That's called Meshicha Biyado. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And here, there's no Meshicha Biyado. He's not holding on to any part of the Chetz. If he was holding on to that part of the Chetz, that would be a different story, right? Hacha, but here, Matzi, you don't even have to turn the page, it's just I have this Masif to say, Matzi Ma'adale. he can decide after he picks up the chalev that he's not going to eat the chalev. You know, he does tshuva in the middle. And the Gemara assumes that these are two conditions, and you have to know which condition is necessary. My ikar ben eilish nal eilish. Now the Gemara is going to come up with a nafkemina. So before we see the nafkemina, let's just open up here to page Kuf Sadi. And he offers three different definitions of akira letzorich hanocha in this context. He starts with ra'ah, then he goes to the Ramban, and then he goes to, who's the third sheet? I don't remember anymore. Okay, we'll see in a second. Okay. So what happens to akira letzorich hanocha according to the ra'ah? So he says the following. Once again, I'm going to read a summary, and you'll look in the original, and in that way, we'll work together. The Ra'ah says the following. There are two modes or categories of akira letzorich hanocha. One is where the chiyuv misa is caused by A plus B. In this case, akira plus hanocha. In other words, in the first category of the ra'ah, akira tzarech hanocha means let's define the maisa machayev. Let's define the malacha. Yochayev on Shabbos for a malacha. What's included in that malacha? And the answer is the akira is no less an integral part of the malacha then is the hanocha. So therefore, once he starts the malacha, which is going to generate his chiyuv misa with akira, that's when we're going to apply the principle of kimlei b'derabmi. Okay. Then says the ra'ah, there's another akira letzarech hanocha. And what is that? That is when me'ikar adin ein zeh haschol haschiyuv. In other words, when he picks up the chalev, you can't say that he's begun the violation of the Isra Achilas chalev. He's just lifted up the chalev. Okay, so ein ze aschol aschiyuv kigon hagba veachilul vehachnasa lepiv beisur chalev, and now. In this case, where the hagbah is not a part and parcel of the avera, the avera meaning the achila, is it called litzarech or is it not? He says that here's another category. We're expanding the horizons on akira tzarech hanocha, and this is going to be considered akira tzarech hanocha if what? If there's no way that he can get it into his mouth without first lifting it up. Is Yesh Ofen Nosaf, there's another category of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, and that will be determined whether or not he must have that Pa'ula, or he can do without that Pa'ula. Im Yachal Asasa Iser V'lo Maisa Shekadim Lo, then he's not going to be considered Akira Tzarech Hanocha. V'lo Chashim Chelik Me'achiv Kigon Ba'agbas Chelev Diefshal achila biladel, you can bend down and eat it. Avol, in a case wikshem muchrach, es hamaisa shekonim lo, kigon hachnasa lepiv, we'll come back to that in just a second, is then, it's considered part of the chiyuv, and therefore, he's parted from tashlumen already at the point of the maisa shekonim lo. So again, as opposed to the first category, which the Ra'ah establishes that the Maisa Kodem Lo is an integral part of the Avera of the Malacha, and that's Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Now he has an expanded Akira Tzarech Hanocha, in which case the Akira is not part of the Malacha. I don't mean Akira in Ha'otza, I'm using Akira as a concept, as a category. If you would have a category of an action that comes before the Avera, then it might be Akira Tzarech Hanocha, despite the fact that it's not part of the Avera. You following Rabosai? Because this is what's gonna get the Rashbah and the Ramban angry, but that the Ra'ah is willing to expand the definition of Akira Tzarech Hanocha to include cases where the Akira is not part of the Aver itself, but it's necessary. How necessary is it? So here the Yad Ramah, I think they were contemporaries and they both were Spaniards. Anyway, here's where the Ra'ah makes a distinction between Hagbah and Hachnasa Lepiv. Right? So let's say, for example, the man bends down to eat the chalev off the ground or off the tabletop, right? And at that very moment, he would rip the Shiraim Shel Chavero, right? Or for that matter, yeah, okay, let's leave it at that. Then, says the Yad Ramah, the moment that he, what word should I use? He forks the chalev into his mouth, right? Or lifts the chalev and throws it into his mouth. At that moment, that's called Akiru Tzarcha Nocha. Why? Because there's no way, I mean, leave that intravenous feeding, right? There's no way of eating the chalev without putting it into your mouth. Masha Enkin Akbar, you could bend down and you don't have to bother with Hagbah, right? I mean, you could skip over Hagbah. So the Ra'ah is now saying that there is an expanded tchum, a territory of Akiru Tzarcha Nocha, which would expand Kimli and Rabinei, even if the first action is not part of the Chiyuv. Because when is he Chayef for Chelev? Only with Bliya, right? He's not Chayef with Achnos and Batif. Fendesvig, nevertheless, is considered Akiru Tzarcha Nocha, and he's going to be part of from Tashlumei Mom. And this is going to get the Rashba very upset. Because the Rashba understood that there's only one category of Akira Litzorach HaNocha. And that means that the Akira is part of the Maisa Machayev. It's part of the Aver, it's part of the Malacha. You could have a Malacha that's made up of a tziruf of many different activities, many different pulot. And that's the case of Hotzah. Hotzah requires the Akira and the HaNocha. And the Rashba is going to prove it to you. He's going to say, I can... The halacha is that Asra has to take place right before the chiyuv, because otherwise we think he forgot it. And yet the Asra from Meleches Hotzah comes before what? Before the Akira. What do you see? You see that the Akira is an integral part of the Melech of Hotzah. So anything happens at the moment of Akira, for example, if he rips his friend Shirayim, well, that's going to be Kibbeh D'Ravineh. Because there's an absolute sink between the Avera Machayevis, although he's not yet Chayev, and the Chiyuv Mamon. But in the case of Hachnasa Lepiv, although it may be true that the Hachnasa Lepiv is absolutely necessary, right? It's a prerequisite. Nevertheless, since the Hachnasa Lepiv is not the Avera per se, the Avera per se is the Bliya, therefore it's not called Akiru Litzvah Hanocha. In other words, the question is how the Rashba is going to understand our Gemara. Because our Gemara, which Lishna was it that said that, the first Lishna, let's go back to the first Lishna, that the reason why Akbar is not Akiru Litzorcha Nocha is because he boy gachim vili achil. Well, what happens if I came up with a quote-unquote Akbar, which was impossible without it. I mean, you couldn't possibly eat it and violate the chiyuv misa without that Akbar. I found such a thing, and the found such a thing. Namely, what hachnasa lepiv. How is the Rashba going to understand this Gemara when the Gemara says the efshir beloza? It sounds like, and this is what we want to study, again, I don't know if we'll get to it now, I don't know how much time we have, but it sounds like the Rashba understood that the Gemara is gauging the Avera per se. How do we define the Avera? When do we say that this Pu'ula is only a preliminary? And when do we say, no, it's integrated into the Guf Avera? And the answer is, whether it's Efshar or Lo Efshar, according to the first Lishna. Now, another way of learning the Rashba would be to just simply say that the Gemara rejects the first Lishna for this very reason. The Gemara holds that if you want to, but then the second Lishna doesn't make any sense. We have to figure out the second Lishna. Now we have Shitas HaTosfos. And Tosfos says the following, that in a case of Efshar B'Lav Hachi, right, ainu potim in a tashlumin, afilu ba'ofet shu chelik mi chiyuv misa. Right? The Tosis is going to go to the other extreme. He's going to say that even if you have a case where it is actually part of the Avera, but you can violate the Avera without it, then even in such a case, we're going to say that it's like Hagbah, and it's not Akira L'tzorach Hanoch. So Akira L'tzorach Hanoch, it's not enough just to establish that the Akira is part of the Chiyuv. You're going to have to go a step further, and you have to say that it's an impossible situation of arriving at Hanocha without Akira. So let's take a look now at the Ra'ah inside. We have about 5 more minutes. And this you'll see on page Kuf Tzad. What is the Gemara telling us about Akira L'tzorach Hanocha and Efshe below Efshe? He says the following. Im kvar hischil l'schayev b'nafsho. In other words, if the Akira is considered a part and parcel of the Malacha, kigon Akira v'anocha, devari mishas Akira hischil l'schayev b'nafsho. What does that mean? Hischil l'schayev b'nafsho. You have it underlined?
Yeah.
Okay, good. He means that the Tchilas Achiyuv is the Akira.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to give him Asra already at the time of the Akira. Mishum de Bechiv Shabbos, Iker Be'inon Akira V'anocha. That's what the Malach is composed. It's comprised of two parts. We're not going to say these Chayiv just for the Anocha and the Akira is just a preliminary stage. No, we're going to say these Chayiv for the combination of both Akira and Anocha. Do you follow? The sweat and toil in the Akira is part of the Aver itself. It's part of the Chiyuv. It's not just that we need the Akira, otherwise there's no Anocha. The Kevan Shuchayiv al Akira ka Anocha, meaning the Akira is no less of a Machayiv than the Anocha, it's a combination of A plus B, is therefore Mishas Akira, who Pashut Shu Mishayiv Benaf Shu B'Yosef Shah. I don't know what he means by who Pashut, he wants to dramatize it, but he means, leave out the word Pashut, he says, Mishas Akira Mishayiv Hu Benaf Shu B'Yosef Shah. Holomazed Dome. Lekotzer, very clever. Wow, this is a brilliant chap. This is like a checkmate. What a move. He says the following. You're not chayef for kotzer until you finish a certain shear. And that's true for just about every other malacha. I mean, maybe a few malachas. If that be the case, what are you going to tell me? That if he incurs a chiyuv moment at the time that he hasn't yet completed the shear of a katsira, right? Then you're going to tell me, well, there's no kim levi d'rab in it because he's not chayev until he finishes the shir. Ridiculous. Right, he's chayev for the beginning of the shir and the end of the shir. Right, he's chayev for the full shir. Is aval pisha ein chiyuvat shas gemara shir. That's the same thing in the case of Akira. He's not chayev for the Akira until he finishes the Melechas Otzah, which was with the Anocha. But it doesn't mean that the Akira is less of a part of the chiyuv than the Anocha. We're not going to say that the second part of his shear is more of a he's more of a chiyuv than the first part of his shear.
Why? If he stopped before he completed the shear, nothing happened.
Right, but he's chayiv for the first part of the shear. If he could switch the order around, he'd be chayiv for the second part for the first part. That's first part is the second part.
Once he gets to the second part, then the first part retroactively becomes part of it.
So when he's chayiv,
no, he's not willing to say that. Really, he's saying that he's chayiv even for the first part. I don't think he's interested in la'afreya. He's telling you that you're going to get malchus or misa in this case, depending on nasra, for no less for the first part of the shear than for the second part of the shiur. Again, l'mafreya means that I gloy milsa, I don't know whether he's chayiv or not until he finishes the shiur. But now we want to know, is there a second category of akira l'tzorach hanoch where the akira is not a part of the machayiv? And that's what we're going to get to in the next paragraph. He says, "Avol bachilas chelev ein aschav chiyuvo ad shas blia." Correct? So the chiyuv is limited to the blia. That's the position of the ra'ah. You can argue with him, maybe even before the blia is chayiv, but he's not zero tolerance. He says you're only chayiv for the blia. Oh. Therefore, he says, "Hare shas hagbach shiva." Yeah, wait a minute. It should say ein. Avolamala. Oh, he's talking about the Havamina. Okay, that was the Havamina of the Gemara. Afal pisha eino came bidin, but the Gemara rejects this. Okay, fine. Now he says the following. What is the Gemara's answer? Why is it true that Hagbah is not considered part of the Chiyuv? Is the Gemara says, as far as Kimlev the Ramine, the Gemara says because he could have bent down and eat it. So he says the following. Fi afal pisha ein amita sachiv ela mishas blia. Right? He says the following. Kevan de havare lo sagi le lachiv below achnosa lepeh. He could not in any way eat it without first putting it in. Then according to our Gemara, that's already called aschol sachiv. Again, even though it's not part of the Avera Machayeves, because as we said before, he's committed himself to the position that the Avera is the Bliya, and nothing before the Bliya is part of the Avera. So for example, if I would give you Asra, according to the Ra'ah, before you put it into your mouth, that would not be a valid Asra. I have to give it to you, I have to give you the Asra after you put it into your mouth, before you swallow it, because the Machayev is Bliya. He's nevertheless, Vare Choshev Ulona Asra Sachiv. He says that Hachnos L'Peh would certainly be considered Aschol Sachiv, even though it's not Aschol Sachiv. But it's Aschol Sachiv as far as Kim Levin Rabmine is concerned. And why? Because there's no way he can get it down his throat without first putting it into his mouth. If you fast forward towards the end, he says the Mitzad Etzem Iser Chelev Hachnos L'Peh Eino Michelke Avera. As I said before, the Asra and Hachnos would not be enough. That's how he's medayik from our Gemara. Is that's already considered haschol asachiv? There's no way, no how you can get it down your throat unless first you put it into your mouth. Thus, putting it into your mouth is a preliminary stage. Again, emphasizing it's not chelik mi'avera, but nevertheless, it's a necessary preliminary stage, and a necessary preliminary stage would qualify as kim lebi derami. And that's what he says. If you take a look for a minute, fast forward to the bottom paragraph on the page, mavur mitvav detrei gavni ika bedin akira sorachanoch. Okay, Rabosai, that's as far as the Ra'ah is concerned. Tomorrow, Bli Neder, we'll go back to the Rashba on Kuf Tzadi Aleph, and we'll try and understand A, why the Rashba rejects the Ra'ah, and number two, how can we defend the Ra'ah against the onslaught of the Rashba. You know that the Rashba and the Ra'ah are very common adversary, so to speak, you know, Bali Bari Pluta, right? Okay.
Does that mean to say if there's not a common issue involved in that altogether? Let's say we're going to forget about Shabbos,
right,
altogether. It was Magli Gadish, and the Gadish, and subsequently the Gadish fell down and killed somebody that was in it.
Right.
So, the Adlaka, without the Adlaka, this never would have happened. I mean, so it's a necessary part to the key of Amida.
Right, so that touches, Alan, again, on this machlokas I had with Rabbi Sachnowitz yesterday, meaning, are we talking abstract terms or in the scenario in front of us?
Right.
Meaning, you could kill the Eved in five different ways, but maybe the only way that you have in front of you, you know, it acts.
Exactly.
So I don't know what is that enough to say Yefshe below, or we have. In other words, I understand in abstract terms that Rabbah is claiming that there's no way, no how that you could swallow something without putting it into your mouth. And again, he doesn't know about intravenous feeding, right? But in your case, let's say. The situation was the facts on the ground were such that I can't achieve Y without first implementing X. I don't know. Does that qualify as an EF Shabalosa? Now I have a feeling that the Ra'ah is talking in abstract terms. Yeah, he wants to see it as a definition for Kimlev the Rabbinic purposes of the Haschol Sachiv. Again, not Haschol Sachiv in the sense that it's part of the Maisa Avera, but Haschol Sachiv in the sense that he's already in
together.
Yeah. That's what
these are tied together, but there's
right.
no
right.
I And you can say that it is an absolute requirement.
That's a good word, absolute. I think the Ra'ah is looking for in absolute terms. But again, we'll have to take it under advisement tomorrow.
Instead of the Gaddish fell down and killed the man, if he burned him up, if the fire burned him up, that would be a different story.
Well, in that case, I would say that he's chayav for burning the Gaddish. Yeah, so that
burning
would be
the Gaddish. And for killing the man.
Yeah, that for sure, yeah. We're only talking about cases where he did something preliminary, and then he was machayev himself, and then he did what he needed to be machayev mamon. I'm sorry, to be machayev nefosh.
Yeah.
And the chayev mamon came somewhere between time T1 and time T2. Time T1 meaning where he got into the plenary, and the chayev bisa is at time T2, and somewhere in time T1.2, somewhere in the middle, at that point he incurred a chayev mamon. And that's the question of the Rav.
Yeah.
Okay then?